This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is kind of a special edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. If you're a regular listener to Catholic Radio, you know that you hear announcements from time to time on the station, and they're not commercial announcements as such. They're underwriting announcements, and the purpose of the underwriting announcements is to acknowledge businesses that have stepped up to the plate and don't make a donation to Catholic Radio and help us stay on the air. And so those announcements that you hear are normally about 30 seconds long or so, and they give you a little snapshot of the business that has made a donation to Catholic Radio and is underwriting our operation here. But it's hard to get to really know a business or much about them in 30 seconds. So from time to time, we like to invite our underwriters to come in and just kind of share with our listeners a little bit more about their business. And so this is one of our relatively new underwriters. You've been hearing about them for several months now on Catholic Radio.
Yeah, we have in our studio Chris Branson. He is with O'Reilly Funeral, right?
Is it O'Reilly Funeral, Home.
O'Reilly, yes. Funeral Home. So where are you guys located?
We are on South US 31 at Edgewood, just south of Edgewood, right next door to St. Mark Catholic Church.
Okay, well, that's, it's great when you
have... We share parking lots.
It's great when you
pretty
have...
good effort.
It's great when you have a, you know, a Catholic, you know, church as a landmark, because, you know, Catholic audience, we just know where those things are.
We know where those are. That's right.
And Catholics have strange way of geography. You know, it's not on the south side. It's down by way down there by St. Francis and Clare.
Yeah, exactly.
Or way up north by, you know, St. whoever,
Saint,
you know.
Whatever.
We appreciate your underwriting support on the station there. Are you one location?
We actually have a second location in Mooresville, which is Carlisle Branson Funeral Service and Crematory, which we acquired that business about 12 years ago, and then O'Reilly about a year and a half ago. Okay. So
then, did you grow up Catholic? The O'Reilly, I mean, you got to be Irish, right?
Born and raised Catholic. So, yes, to answer that question, we don't know
Did you go to Catholic schools town?
I went to St. Joe. I had a little flavor from St. Joe in Shelbyville, and in my fourth grade year, we moved to the north side, and I graduated from St. Luke. And then Cathedral, and then Xavier.
Aha.
Wow.
So 17 years worth, yeah.
Wow.
I hit mortuary school, that was my first non-Catholic institution. So
tell us a little bit about O'Reilly Funeral Homes. I mean, give me the overview, maybe.
Sure. O'Reilly was founded in 1971 by Dan O'Reilly. He and his wife, Denise, founded the business. And Dan was... he was a first-generation funeral director, had two priests, two brothers who were priests, actually. They all three were funeral directors. Two of them went off to the priesthood. Dan stayed back and started the funeral home. So as a result, we have for many years traditionally served a larger number of Catholic families than some funeral homes do.
Mm-hmm.
So we embrace that and enjoy it. You know, mm-hmm. I think there's some value in when a family sits down with a funeral director that understands, you know, the liturgy and why we do what we do through the process of death and dying.
Sure. And we don't get to talk to funeral directors very often.
No.
Yeah, here on Catholic Radio.
We don't get out much.
but if we can, pick your brain for just a moment here.
Absolutely.
You know, sooner or later, the funeral is a situation that everybody is going to face. And what are some of the, either the mistakes that people make or things that people should do prior to really needing your service?
Well, you know, I do feel that an educated consumer always makes better decisions.
Sure.
So we're finding that people are interested in planning ahead a little mm-hmm. more than they used to be.
Yeah.
So planning services doesn't mean that you always pay for services in mm-hmm. advance. It might mean that you come in and create a file mm-hmm. with the funeral home of your choice, provide biographical information, make your wishes known about where you might like to have visitation or mm-hmm. mass or mm-hmm. where your burial or cremations to take place, and mm-hmm. if you're going to be cremated, what your desires are for your urn afterwards, and those types of things.
Okay. Now, you mentioned cremation.
Yes.
And the words cremation and Catholic always
seemed to have a little trouble fitting together.
It was taboo for a long time. But we are seeing more and more Catholic families opt for cremation. And the Vatican certainly has very strong guidelines about what we, you know, how what the protocol should be. And the preference would be that the body be at Mass for the ritual and then cremation follow. However, it is permissible for an urn to be in the church, so cremation could take place prior to Mass. But a very key thing is how the urn is handled or the cremated remains are handled after cremation, and that is that they should be buried. So keeping an urn at home is not advisable, and scattering is certainly not advisable either.
And that's in terms of Catholic protocol.
Correct.
So it is permissible to have a cremation. People are permissible. It's permissible to be cremated,
yes,
by, according to Catholic teaching.
Correct.
But like you said, there are certain guidelines that are strongly, well, basically, the Vatican basically says this is how you need to do it.
Yeah. They are, you know,
they don't suggest.
Yeah.
They say, hey. Right.
Yes, Father, right?
Right.
And in kind of a secular sense, people talk about cremation, and then Dad always loved the mountains, so we're going to sprinkle his ashes over the mountain, or he liked that particular lake, so we're going to sprinkle the ashes in the lake. That's the problem.
And it's the problem because we as Catholics believe that our bodies should be, you know, treated with reverence and respect, and that burial is important, and having a place to for family to visit, memorialize, is important for what we know as Catholics.
And I think it would also, there, you know, the church is so great in its wisdom in giving us like the practical of, you know, the whole healing process of, and grieving, so that we actually can go visit that person, even though, you know, we know they've gone to the great beyond. If you're just tuning in right now, we're talking to Chris Branson of O'Reilly Funeral Home, and we're talking a little bit about cremation and the whole burial process and what's involved in that.
When do people, or when should people, start thinking about or planning for? I mean, if you're a 30-year-old with two young kids, it's the furthest thing from your mind.
It usually is.
If you're retiring, well, you kind of start to think about it, but not now.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that. You know, I think people don't want to think about it, so maybe they just kind of don't.
It's a very easy thing to put off. But what we, when we do see people making plans, oftentimes it's during a time of transition, for example, when a person's retiring and they're getting some affairs in order, or maybe they're planning, doing some estate planning, and an attorney or a financial advisor says, you know, you might think about putting this on your list of things to do. Because, and for a married couple, certainly, I always tell folks that, that planning your services can be just like anything else. We plan all these other things, where we're going to, you know, where we're going to live, where we're going to go to church, where we're going to send our kids to school, when we're going to retire, how we're going to retire. So these are just more important decisions that you can make together.
Sure.
Because they are lonely decisions
and,
to make.
And it does take some planning. And one of the aspects of planning would be the financial aspect of it. What is a range? I know there's a broad range, but what is a broad range of what a person might kind of set aside for that purpose?
You know, anywhere from $6,000 to $12,000, depending on wishes and desires. You know, we have several great Catholic cemeteries in the Archdiocese with Calvary, St. Joe, Holy Cross, Our Lady of Peace, in the Indianapolis market, and then others abroad. So we also need to factor the cemetery side in, because you have the funeral side and then the cemetery side with final disposition. So, but that's a pretty good fair range.
Okay. I mean, because that is a consideration.
It is. It always is. And it should be. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, because we plan, you know, you budget.
And the other thing is that you mentioned, which I didn't even really know was available, is that, you know, which kind of makes me kind of interested in maybe looking into this now. I'm still pretty young. But, you know, that you can plan without necessarily having to pay. I mean, at least open up a file, at least get the process started, and start thinking about what do we need to plan for this. And, you know, when someone dies, I mean, it is really a crisis.
It can be stressful. Yeah.
And so, you know, you want to, the more you can get done ahead of time, it just, I would think it would lessen that stress. Have you found that to be?
It is very true. And even just to have biographical information on file somewhere, like, years when you graduated from here, there, when you retired, and how many years you worked for a place, and what your memberships were. And, you know, the kids, you know, they'll say, well, Dad was a member of Knights of Columbus. And which council? And everybody looks at each other.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Well, Dad knew, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, well, we've been talking with Chris Branson of O'Reilly Funeral Home.
And tell us the location again.
We are at precisely 6107 Southeast Street, which is on 31, just south of Edgewood, next door to St. Mark Catholic Church in the South Deanery.
And most every business today has a website.
We do. It is O'ReillyFuneralHome.com. O'Reilly is O-R-I-L-E-Y.
O'ReillyFuneralHome.com.
Yes.
All right. Well,
thanks so much, Chris, for stopping in and chatting about what you do and giving us some good lowdown on Catholic.
And thank you again very much for your underwriting support on Catholic Radio. That is very, very important to us.
Thank you. We are proud to be a part of it. Thank
you. God bless you.
Thank you, too.
Hi, this is Chris Branson of O'Reilly Funeral Home. If you or a loved one lived a life of faith, that faith should be celebrated at a funeral mass. Our three Catholic funeral directors, Sean Gudot, Chris Branson, and Mark Metz, have over 80 years of combined funeral experience assisting Catholic families. More information on the advantages of selecting a Catholic funeral director is available at O'ReillyFuneralHome.com/Catholic. That's O-R-I-L-E-Y, funeralhome.com/Catholic.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Have you ever wanted to discover a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit and have your heart set on fire? Good. Then why not join us here at Catholic Radio for a DVD study series on the Holy Spirit called The Wild Goose. It's presented by Father David Pravanka, TOR, beginning September 3rd through April 3rd every other week. We will meet at 8383 Craig Street for discussion. For more information, please contact Sharon at CatholicRadioIndy.org or call 317-870-8400.
When you're tired of doing life alone, come back here. We enjoy the company. We hope you do too. Better together. Catholic Radio Indy.
Scripture tells us that David beat Goliath with a sling and five smooth stones. Funny, the rosary looks kind of like that. The rosary is a Catholic devotional prayer. A set of one Our Father followed by 10 Hail Marys is called a decade. You do 5 decades and you have a rosary. And for each decade, we meditate on a mystery from Jesus' life. So the prayers we're breathing in and out set the stage for an encounter with the Word of God. Do a quick search online for the mysteries of the rosary, which are different for each day of the week. What I really love about old-school Catholic devotionals like this is simplicity. I'll be honest, it's not always easy to pray or to lead my family in prayer. What do I do? What do I say? Rosary, problem solved. Look, every family's a mess in its own special way. Bring God into the mess. Your family's problems might be Goliath's. Maybe the solution's as simple as a sling and 5 smooth stones. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Wow, Catholic Radio just got its first check from Kroger as part of the Kroger Rewards program. It was over $100. How do we get it? Well, it's easy. If you shop at Kroger and have a Kroger Plus card, you can register your card just one time, and then every time you shop, Catholic Radio will get a percentage of your purchase. It costs you nothing at all. Just register your card at CatholicRadioIndy.org. You only register once, and Catholic Radio benefits every time you shop.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy. Start your weekend off right with Catholic Radio Indy's Saturday morning lineup. Join James Littleton for Forming Faithful Families at 9, followed by the pro-life message of I Choose Life at 9:30. Then enjoy today's music with a Catholic message at 10 on Catholic Jukebox Indiana. At 11 o'clock, we'll share an hour of Catholic thought and philosophy on the Catholic Cave. And at noon, it's time to grab a bite, sit back, and enjoy some food for thought with 2 episodes of Faith in Action. That's the Saturday morning lineup from your source for 100% Catholic programming, Catholic Radio Indy.
lives and the work that God does through you. It's brought joy to the people that I'm around because I'm a different person because of you guys.
Catholic Radio Indy.
This is a special edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
And, hello.
As you're aware, we normally have one guest on Faith in Action. Today, we're blessed to have two guests.
Yeah.
And our second guest got a very interesting topic.
Yes. We're talking in studio with our guest, Tom Vaughn. He is the chief of police of the Southport Police Department, and Jim and I have to behave in here because he is one looking buff. He's got handcuffs and he's in his suit. He's in his, you know, his uniform. So, you know, he kind of looks like, you know, Iron Man or Captain Marvel. So I kid you not. So we're going to behave, but welcome to Faith in Action.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to talk about several things, ministries that you're involved in. Mm-hmm. But you grew up Catholic, right? You went to St. Rock. Talk about that Catholic family, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I grew up raised Catholic, and we went to my first school was St. Simon's.
Okay.
And then I ended up, we moved to the south side of Indianapolis, and I went to St. Rock.
And then that's where you're in Southport, so yeah. That's you remained on the south side.
Yeah. Yeah, I was born and raised there since, we moved when I was really young, and it's home to me, and I've got a lot of good connections, and especially with the churches down on the south side.
So how did you happen to get into law enforcement, and what's it like to be chief of police? I mean, that's a pretty big job.
Yeah, that was, that was always a goal.
Yeah.
My father was a police officer,
okay.
So I watched him get dressed every day and, you know, just always admired him and what he did, so that was the path that I took. And then in my 23 years of police work now, I've worked in every position. And I was lucky enough to get a call from Southport. They were doing a police chief change and said, we'd like to talk to you. And I said, great, I can do that.
Wow. So what do you do? Like, what is the job?
I was going to say Southport isn't exactly the crime capital of the world.
No.
Which is good.
So what does a day-to-day policeman do in Southport?
A lot of it is we have the I-65 runs right through our city, and then we have Madison Avenue and 31. So a lot of our runs are what we call transient traffic, which will be passing through. We've been blessed enough the last 3 years to lower crime each year in our city. So my job mainly is to get out, talk to the community, businesses, and those type of things, and promote what we're trying to do in Southport. We are really big on community policing. That is a push. And it's not the community policing where you like put it on the side of your car.
Mm-hmm.
We actually get out and we do it. Mm-hmm. We believe in the service. It's protect and serve. Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is community policing? Because I know that's kind of a big term.
Sure.
in the larger discussion about law enforcement.
Right.
What is that exactly? Can you break it down for us, that layman here in Catholic radio?
Sure. What do you want to do is, you know, the police department, you don't want to, your community be afraid of them. So, you know, they use that word community policing. Get out in the community, work with them.
Get
to know your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
We're building a new police department, and it's right inside of the neighborhood. And that was a big fear for a lot of the neighbors because they didn't want to hear lights and sirens and police cars. And, you know, like we sat down and we said, we want to be good neighbors. What can we do to fit into mm-hmm. here? And the same with them. You know, what can you do to, you know, fit in with us? So it's that working relationship, and it's basically a partnership that you're trying to build. And we look at it as we're really good at protecting you, and
mm-hmm.
we'll do whatever it takes, but we lack the service part a lot in law enforcement. So we push towards that. We had an officer stop and get out of the car and help a lady wheel her trash can up the driveway. I got 100 emails about how great that was just to see that. So to me, that's what community policing is. It's treating everybody like the way you want to be treated. And
the golden rule, right?
Exactly.
The golden rule, you know,
yeah,
do unto others.
Hard.
So now you are involved in some kind of senior ministry,
mm-hmm.
and I want to talk about that. How'd you get involved in that? What exactly are you doing, and how do you help seniors? And I also want to talk about scams and how
sure.
we can avoid
yeah.
them, because even if you're, whether you're Catholic or old, young, anyone can be susceptible to those. So first talk
yeah.
about the community ministry / involvement that you are doing with seniors and how maybe you got involved in that.
Sure. In our city hall, we actually have a community room that
mm-hmm.
the seniors, Perry Seniors has an office in there. So every day they cook lunch and bring the seniors in. so that we know that they're eating. So that was a great opportunity for the police officers and myself to be able to sit down and start talking to them. Now, not everybody lives in Southport, but they live in the surrounding area.
So Perry, is this like Perry Township?
It's like Perry Township. Okay, okay. Yes, yeah. So it allows us to hear everything going on because seniors know everything that's going on. If you just stop and listen, they can tell you what's going on in that neighborhood.
That's pretty smart, actually, when you think about that. Go on. This is good information. You're intelligence gathering, right? In a kind way.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and it's also time to sit down and they get to know us. You know, and again, it's building that partnership. It's part of that community policing that we believe in. So, you know, that led to asking to raise money. Perry Seniors is a non-for-profit organization. So then we started working with the businesses in the area. Stack Pickles won. That is a huge supporter. And then they held a fundraiser, I believe, it was 3 months ago, and they raised $1,200, I believe. So just doing things like that to be able to get them the tools they need. And they also have a program where they transport people to, like, dialysis or doctor's appointments and that kind of stuff. So being able to help them with that kind of stuff is what's important to us, and that's kind of how we all got together.
Now, is this volunteers that are doing this, or is this police officers, or both?
But it's all volunteers. The police officers will help if they have tried and can't. We've done that before. But, yeah, it's a lot of volunteers coming in and out and making sure that they're making their appointments and getting food delivered at home. So it's a good program, and I'm glad we're involved with it.
So how, like, obviously, you know, when you grow up Catholic and you have all these values that have really been instilled in you through your parents, through school, through Mass and all that, how has that kind of shaped who you are, and how do you kind of take that with you as, you know, when you can't, like, check your values at the door? You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
How has that, like, impacted you in terms of the work that you do?
I think the most important thing with that is it's allowed me to stay as a human being, as a person, not as the police chief up here, and this is, you know, the law. It's allowed me to also transfer that to the officers. You know, our golden rule is treat everybody the way you want to be treated. You know, why are you passing? Would you pass your mother broke down on the side of the road? No.
Right.
Stop and do it. So, I, you know, a lot of those values I've brought with me through the police department, and I think it's made my career grow, and I think it's I know it's gotten me to where I'm at now.
God had a plan, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, and you never can really always figure it out, so you kind of got to go the long way sometimes. But, no, I do believe that. No, I believe that's why I'm where I'm
that's
at.
That's quite a program that you've got set up for the elderly there. And the elderly always seem to be the victims of scams sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that they're not smarter or not, they're not as smart as. It isn't that. I think the perpetrators of scams focus on senior citizens. What are some of the common things that people should be aware of to just kind of be, aware that this might be a scam?
Right. The newest one is they get a call from the IRS and they say, if you don't send me this amount of money, the police will be at your house. Well, most of our seniors have no arrest record. They do everything right. So as soon as you say the police are coming to your house, they're paying.
And they're panicked, too.
And they're panicked, yeah. They don't want to see the police there, kick their door in, and drag them out in handcuffs like they were told was going to happen if they didn't pay.
Not that that would happen, but nonetheless.
Exactly, right. Yeah. We actually had a lady in our city pay $1,200. And then she finally, I think it was her son or daughter, said, hey, that's you need to call the police.
Yeah.
So after we sat down and talked to her, we're trying to catch that. The problem is it's not always in Indiana because they want you to mail it somewhere or send them a certified money order.
Sure.
So,
or even credit card information.
Credit card information,
Now, are most scams done today over the internet and phone, or are there people knocking on your door that might take your money too?
Yeah, we still have those too. We have a lot of solicitors coming by saying that there's a tree service, and if you'll come out here, let me show you this tree. And then when they get you out of the house, their partner will go in and steal your jewelry, your money, your TV, whatever they can grab and leave. And then a lot of them, we had one the other day where he was going to blacktop her driveway, but she had to give him $4,000 up front. And of course she did that, and then they disappeared, and her driveway never was finished.
Wow. So what we're talking with Tom Vaughn, he is the Chief of Police of the Southport Police Department and longtime Catholic. What can we do to avoid that kind of that? What can we do to avoid scams, whether you're elderly or any age? Yeah.
And one of the things we find, especially with the elderly, is they're not on Facebook and they're not on the internet, so they're a little harder to capture. But especially with the ones that are tech savvy, you can get on the Attorney General, Indiana Attorney General, and they will list every scam. If you can't do that, call your local police department. We've seen them all. We know the ones happening in the area, and we're more than happy to give you that information and also get the information from you so that we can try and stop it.
Sure. The program that we were talking about earlier in this program here of just the interaction between the police department and the senior citizens can be a real good way to avoid that. I mean, ask somebody. That's the problem with a lot of senior citizens. They're home alone, don't get out much. There's nobody to ask. Right. So if they were coming to, you know, have lunch with you folks or interact with you folks in one way or another, they could ask, say, what about this? I just got this call.
Yeah. One of the things that we started, it's called Senior Watch. We have some elderly people in our city who the their daughters and sons have moved away. So they're maybe an hour away, 2 hours away. So what we do is we send an officer by once a week just to check on, make sure their power's on, they have heat or air, whether they're eating. And a lot of times we'll just sit down 30 minutes with them and just talk. So, yeah, a lot of times we can handle it that way, too, when we're out doing these. We have about 25 that we check on now.
All right, very good.
So when in doubt, call the police department or go to the Attorney General's website and look up what the scams are. And if someone wanted to contact you, Tom, and just ask you a question or find out if maybe they want to volunteer with the seniors or something like that, can you give your email address?
Sure. It's T Vaughn, that's V-A-U-G-H-N, at southportpolice.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being our guest today. And we'll all hope to avoid scams, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you, Tom, very much.
And God bless you in your work.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.